Let's take our Bibles. Let's go to the book of 2 Timothy to begin this evening. I want to introduce this new series to you tonight. It could be some time that we'll be in this study, but I want to introduce, it's going to be an Old Testament study, but I want to introduce some verses here just to give us a reminder. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." And I want you to focus on that thought of all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And notice with me verse 21 tonight. It says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." And so again, God working in individuals and filling them with His words. Now, one more passage in our New Testament here, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. This is that chapter that we call the Hall of Faith, and it goes through a lot of Old Testament characters and names many of them. But in verses 36 through 38, it doesn't mention anybody's names, but it describes some of the difficulties that these individuals had to go through. Verse 36, it says, "And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth." Of course, those persecutions that believers went through could describe many people, but as I was studying and preparing for these messages, it describes many of our Old Testament prophets. In fact, Jeremiah, as they said, fits very well in verse number 36 with the trial of cruel mockings and scourgings and being put in prison. Zechariah and Isaiah, verse 37, they were stoned, they were sawn asunder. Jewish tradition says that Isaiah could have faced his persecution or his death of being put in a log and then a saw coming across that log and getting through the bark, getting through the wood, and finally hitting flesh and bone and sawn asunder. And it doesn't say that in the Scripture, but there's a tradition and there's a thought that Isaiah went through that, and Zechariah also facing that. You remember back in the 1 Kings, I think it's chapter 17, 18, somewhere in there, where Jezebel had the prophets of God slain with a sword, a big number of them put to death. And so I want us to, first of all, those two verses, 2 Timothy 3 and 2 Peter 1, to remind us of all Scripture is important. And I want to introduce the thought of prophets to you this evening, and I want to do a study on the prophets, and I really want to focus our study on what we call the minor prophets. And if we wanted to give this series of messages a title, I would call it Majoring on the Minors. All right, Majoring on the Minors. Let's spend some time looking at these 12 books in the back of your Old Testament. Now, before you turn there, let's see how good we can do this evening. There's 12 of them. Those are the books, you know, that you're, I say, turn to Haggai, and you're flipping through, and after 30 seconds, you just pretend you're there. They're the ones, they're real small, and we have a hard time finding them and getting there. And we want to look at those, but let's do this evening. Let's see if we can come with all 12 of them. We're going to start by section. We're going to go this section first. Can you just give me one, somebody from this section, one of our minor prophets? Shout it out. Micah. Okay, I got Micah. All right, this section. Anybody here? Not your section yet, Bill. All right, this section. This section right here. Joel, I gotcha. So we got Micah and Joel. All right, Bill. All right, Habakkuk. I've heard it heard all kinds of things. That's the first time I've heard Habakkuk, but amen. We know what he's talking about there. Habakkuk, however you say it. So there's three of them. How about this section? I heard a Nahum. Did I hear a Nahum? All right, so that's four. Over here, this section, Amos. All right, there's five. This section over here?
Malachi.
All right, so we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We're going to go back over here. We already got Amos. Hosea. I better start marking them here. Yes, yeah. All right, we had that Malachi. We had Habakkuk. And that's 2, 4. All right, and they're all blending together now. We had a Micah. I saw that one. All right, back to this section. What is it? I heard her first. She's Haggai? Yeah. All right. This section? Zephaniah. Good one, Dale. All right, that would have been a tough one. Good, you got that one? This section? Zechariah. All right. Did I not say that? Obadiah. We'll tell you, I don't have it marked yet. All right. And over here? Anybody? Did I hear a Joel? Very good. Did I hear a Jonah? Good. And I got one more. It may have already been said, Nahum. All right, so 12 of them. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. They're called the minor prophets, but they're not minor because their message is not important, or that it's not fully inspired by God. Again, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. But they're called the minor prophets because they're small. They're tiny. The largest of them would be 14 chapters, I believe. I think there's two of them that have 14 chapters. But even theirs, they're small chapters. They're not very long at all. In fact, there are 39 Old Testament books, and these 12 make up 7% of the Old Testament. So it's just a small little section in the back of our book. And when you compare them to Isaiah, 66 chapters, Jeremiah, 52 chapters, Ezekiel, 48 chapters, we would certainly say they're not very large. And so that's where the name minor prophets comes in. Now, these prophets have some things in common. Prophets are, we think of that, and we would think of prophecy, things that were foretold. But I want to let you know this evening, and you probably know this, but remind you that the primary role of a prophet was not to foretell, but to forthtell. Just simply deliver the message that God had, either for an individual or for a nation, for a group of people, they were to give that. Now, there were times, and certainly in most of these books, there are prophetic things that will take place that were going to be future for them. It may have been talking about the birth of the Messiah. It may have been talking about the future kingdom that will be established here. And some of those things have been fulfilled, and some of those are yet to be fulfilled. But again, their primary purpose was to deliver the message that God had for a group of people right then. Some of the prophets dealt with the northern kingdom of Israel, those 10 tribes to the north, and some dealt with the southern kingdom of Judah. Others dealt with other nations. The Nineveh will be the topic of two of our minor prophets. Edom is dealt with. And so there are various nations that are part of this in these messages from God. And these 12 men were common. They were ordinary men like us. One was a farmer all the way to one was of royal heritage. And everything in between and how God used them. Now this evening what I want to do is just introduce each of them to you, give you a little bit of a brief overview, and spend just a few minutes doing that, and then give you one takeaway this evening to make for an application. And then next Wednesday, Lord willing, we will get into the book of Hosea, and we'll spend some time in Hosea, and then we'll go to Joel and so forth. Some of the books, maybe just one or two messages, and other of the books that might be multiple messages as we go through and work our way through these books. But Hosea, It's the first in a list of our minor prophets, and there are 14 chapters in this book, and one man has defined the theme of that book as the faithfulness of God. And faith will be an overwhelming, repetitive theme throughout these minor prophets and will be highlighted. Hosea, we know that he's the son of Beeri, and he lived in Israel, that northern kingdom. He's one of two prophets that we believed lived in the northern kingdom, the other being Jonah, and ministered primarily in the northern kingdom. And what was called in Israel during their golden age under Jeroboam II. You remember, Israel started and their first king was Jeroboam, and we're talking several kings down the line. Several generations later, there was another king known as Jeroboam II. Now, don't let the word or the title Golden Age fool you about Israel. They may have been flourishing financially and successfully in that matter, but they were not. Israel was never, as that divided kingdom, was never a godly nation. They were a nation that Jeroboam I had led them into Baal worship in the beginning or into false gods, and they were that way through each of their kings and their one queen. And so it was a successful time, but that doesn't mean it was a godly time. They were successful, they were booming, but they certainly were not a godly nation. And so Hosea was brought in, and you may be familiar with Hosea. His name means salvation, or it means help, it means deliverance. Jesus is a form of that word in the New Testament there, the same idea there. He was this prophet that God used not only to write a message or to deliver a message that was recorded for us, but he had to act out a message. It's a difficult message. He was told to marry a lady that would not be faithful to him, would have multiple affairs, and they would have three children, and at least two of them we know for sure were not his children. They were products of an unfaithful wife. And yet God told him to marry her. When she left him again, he went out and bought her off the slave market and purchased her and brought her back and forgave her and told her that he loved her and received her. And he did all of that to paint a picture of what Israel had done to God and how God was faithful in spite of the unfaithfulness of Israel. And certainly there's a lot of application in our own lives today with that. And so Hosea is it's a difficult one to read through. We can end up feeling very heartbroken for Hosea and all that he goes through. But certainly what a true and accurate picture it was of Israel and God. We'll begin that study next Wednesday, Lord willing, in the book of Hosea. That second of these prophets is the prophet Joel. There are three chapters in that book. And the theme of that, the dominant theme, will be the day of the Lord. Looking into those future days of God's judgment upon this earth, Joel is not mentioned anywhere else in the Old Testament, but he is referred to in the New Testament. In fact, Peter will quote and will refer and will use the words of Joel on his great message there in Acts chapter number 2 on the day of Pentecost. And so Joel is used to introduce those messages there for the early church. And you may remember Joel had a vision of the locust plague that we would be familiar with those future days yet to come of God's judgment upon the earth. The third of these minor prophets is the little book or the little name of Amos. There are 9 chapters in this book. And one man has given us the theme of this idea of hearing what God has to say. Amos was a shepherd and a fig tree farmer. He was a farmer. He was a man of the field. He lived in Tekoa, south of Jerusalem there a little bit. And Amos highlights the truth that God shows no partiality. And certainly, it's a good thought for us to remember that God is not impressed with someone up here versus someone that's down lower on the social status or in the financial status. God is not partial to man in that fashion. And God will use Amos to deliver some powerful messages that we'll look at. The fourth of these minor prophets is the man Obadiah. 21 verses, one chapter, shortest book in the Old Testament. And the kingdom will be the Lord's is the theme there. Obadiah means he a servant or worshiper of Yahweh. It was a common biblical name, especially in the Old Testament. There are at least a dozen Obadiahs in the Old Testament. And we believe that this Obadiah, may have been that one God-fearing servant that King Ahab had there in the northern kingdom. And so it's possible that he was that man. And the book of Obadiah, as I mentioned, is the shortest of the Old Testament books, just these 21 verses. Maybe one of the most famous of our minor prophets is the book Jonah. It's four chapters, and we learn here about the kindness of God. And Jonah, it's different than most of the books because it's an account. It's what happened in his life. Of course, God was using him to go and preach a message to the nation or the city of Nineveh, this wicked nation of Assyria, or this wicked city of Assyria. And but it's not like the other books that is talking about God's using him. He just comes and he preaches a short message of repentance, and God does work in the people's hearts there. Jonah. In fact, we don't even know for sure if Jonah is the actual author of this book, or if it's written like in the third person, speaks of Jonah as someone's telling the story about Jonah, but certainly gives firsthand information as only Jonah would know, being in the belly of a whale and so forth. Jonah, it's written to Nineveh, or about Nineveh, and we'll learn here in just a moment that there'll be another of our these minor prophets that focuses in on Nineveh, and but in this instance, the city of Nineveh repents of their sin and turns to the Lord. Jonah is mentioned also in the book of 2 Kings, and it looks like that he also served during that time of Jeroboam the second there in the northern kingdom of Israel. Micah. There are seven chapters in this little book, and he asked the question, what does the Lord require? Micah was a well-known prophet that served with Isaiah. They were contemporaries. He lived outside of Jerusalem. He was one of the few prophets referred to specifically in another prophetic book. Jeremiah refers to him. In fact, in that book there, in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah was being threatened to be put to death because of his message against Jerusalem, because of his prophecy that Jerusalem was going to come under judgment of God, and they were going to put him to death. And then someone reminded those individuals that were going to put him to death, and they said, well, listen, Micah preached the same message 100 years earlier. About Jerusalem, and that spared Jeremiah's life. And some believe that this gives some indication that Micah was a very well-known, prominent, and well-thought-of prophet there in the southern kingdom of Judah. And Micah ministered during the great Assyrian crisis. He witnessed the events that brought about the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel. Nahum, I like this one. It's one of my favorite little minor prophets, just three chapters. I was reading about this once, and there are many that question whether many scholars, and I would use that in quotes there, they question whether Nahum is even a legitimate book. They don't see the significance of it. One man said that instead of calling it Nahum, they should just call it Ho-Hum, because there's nothing important in that little book. And I think they got it completely wrong. It's a very powerful book. And it's also written to the nation or the city of Nineveh, 100 years after Jonah has been there. And what has happened, the city of Nineveh had repented under the ministry of Jonah. And by the time Nahum comes along, they've repented of their repentance. Does that make sense to you? They repented of their repentance. They had made a 180-degree turn with Jonah's ministry. And by the time Nahum comes on the scene, they've gone back to where they were. They've repented of their repentance. And Nahum doesn't come and offer them any hope. He tells them, you guys are done. And God's judgment's going to fall upon you. In fact, they don't even know if he spoke it to the people of Nineveh as much as he may have just preached this to the people of Judah as an encouragement because the Assyrians had been such a wicked nation. And so Nahum, we see God is good and just. And as I mentioned, people repenting of their repentance. Then Habakkuk. There's three chapters in this little book. And Habakkuk is, God's ways are not our ways. Good thought for us to remember. There's little known about this man Habakkuk. The Bible, the book doesn't give any family or historical information on him. And unlike most of the other prophetic books, this one places a higher priority on addressing a particular topic rather than simply preserving the oracles of the prophet. In this way, it's more like Jonah than it would be Micah, so to speak, there. It covers a particular account. And so there's a lot of wisdom in Habakkuk, and certainly a good study there. Then we have Zephaniah, three chapters. We see God's tender love. This is the one that possibly Zephaniah was part of the royal household. He was a contemporary with Jeremiah. And God used Jeremiah and Zephaniah to signal the beginning of God's witness to Judah during the Babylonian period and eventually destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. Haggai, two chapters. The idea there is fearing God. Haggai is listed with two titles. He's called the prophet, but he's also called the Lord's messenger. And he worked with Zechariah. They worked hand in hand. And God used both of these men in a combined ministry to come back after the Babylonian Empire and rebuild the temple there in Jerusalem. There's only two chapters in Haggai, but there's 14 in Zechariah. And again, they're working together. Haggai deals more with the outward building. He'll tell the people, get to the hills there and chop down some trees and get this house built. Where Zechariah deals more with the heart of the people, that they're prepared be worshiping in the temple. And so he encourages the community to repent and for a spiritual renewal. His task was to prepare the people for proper worship and temple service once the building project was complete. Now, Zechariah, that's probably the most common of these prophets' names. There's 32 people called Zechariah in the Old Testament, and so it could be easy to misidentify him. Zechariah certainly, we learn about him not just here in his book, but also in the book of Nehemiah, where God used Nehemiah to lead that people back into from Babylon back to Jerusalem. And then the final of the books that we'll study will be Malachi, four chapters. And the theme of that is God who does not change. In the entire Old Testament, the only place you'll find the name Malachi is in chapter 1 of Malachi, verse number 1, just one time. So we don't know a lot about him other than his name means my messenger or my angel. And God used him as he is preparing the people there for this time. Afterwards will be a 400 years of silence and before the Messiah comes on the scene there in the New Testament. Now, let me just close with some thoughts here this evening. As we just introduced these books to us. Most, if not all, of these men served God in the most difficult of circumstances. Things were not well in their cities, in their nations. Some of them served in wicked, ungodly, the nation of Israel. It just got gradually worse and worse after Jeroboam started it in such a wrong way. You remember when Jeroboam and it took that northern kingdom, those 10 tribes, you remember he was fearful that they would go back to Jerusalem to worship and they would lose their allegiance to Israel. And he introduced at the very beginning of that kingdom idol worship. And through those years, about 250 some years that that nation of Israel is there, it gradually got worse and worse. Now, there were some kings that were worse than others, but it was worse and worse. And these men, at least two or three of them had to serve under those conditions. And certainly there in the nation of Judah as well, some wicked kings, some wicked things that went on during that time. Given some very difficult task. Jonah, go to Nineveh. Didn't want to go. So much he didn't want to go, he went the other direction. Given difficult tasks, difficult responsibilities. But yet these men were maybe not Jonah so much. He went under kind of even when he wasn't right with God, it seems like. But the others, though, they were faithful to God in spite of their circumstances or the conditions that they found themselves in. And I think, as I've been looking at the different books and just been reading and studying just in an overview of these books, I've been encouraged that it is, in these days that we live in, we need to be faithful to God no matter what we see around us. Brother Neese here this last Saturday gave us a really strong challenge at our men's prayer meeting and mentioned that to us, that we're getting to live in some days that God's allowing us to live in. And there may be some consequences of living in these days that we're going to live in, but God's going to give us what we need, and we need to be faithful to Him. And I think we're going to learn that as we study these minor prophets, seeing how God used these men in spite of the difficulties around them. So I trust that you'll be looking ahead and reading through here and looking forward to a good study on these 12 different little books. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Lord, we pray as we go ahead now and begin to study through these books, Lord, that you'd go before us. And Lord, I pray, God, that it would be a good and profitable study for us. Help us to learn much about you. But Lord, not just to gain knowledge, Lord, to learn some things that's going to help us to live this Christian life. Lord, we'll see many men that will be faithful under very difficult and trying circumstances. Lord, I pray that we would stay faithful to you. In spite of what goes on around us, in spite of our circumstances, Lord, help us to be faithful to you. Now, Lord, I pray for your hand of protection upon us as we go to our homes this evening. Watch over us tonight and throughout the remainder of this week. Bring us back this Sunday, Lord, for a great Lord's Day. Again, Lord, begin working in our hearts and our lives and those others that will be here. And, Lord, again, give us great opportunity this week to share our faith with someone, God, to tell someone about Jesus Christ. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do for us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you much.